Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Steve Zwemke in for Lori Walsh. Libraries, bookstores, and schools are celebrating Banned Books Week, an opportunity to celebrate the power of words to open minds with new and diverse viewpoints, even those people that might find offensive. During the week, thousands of libraries, bookstores, schools, and theaters host dedicated events that focus on the dangers of censorship and celebrate the right to choose reading materials without restriction. Attempts to ban books take place in the United States annually, and library professionals lead efforts to safeguard free access to information by working to protect the freedom to read. The American Library Association's Office of Intellectual Freedom receives reports from libraries, schools, and the media about attempts to ban books in communities across the country. With more on Banned Books Week, we're joined by Jamie LaRue, director of the ALA Office of Intellectual Freedom. Jamie, thank you so much for your time today.
It's a great pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
When we talk about Banned Books Week, the first thing that comes to mind is Salem or something that happened hundreds of years ago. First of all, tell us how Banned Books Week came to fruition, how long this has been going on.
Okay, well, let me tell you the first thing that people often get confused about. They say, why is the American Library Association banning books? And that's not how it works.
Right.
So what happens is, what we do is we track the attempts to restrict or remove books from libraries. And so those might come, you know, as we say, you cover it, it's on the radio, it's on TV, someone writes about it in the newspaper. Those are public challenges. Mm-hmm. And last year we had about 46 pretty high-profile ones. And then people call us directly, usually the librarian in the field, to say, help, someone is trying to remove a book or say that I have to put restrictions on it. And we got about 323 of those last year. But we also know from some studies we did back in 2011 that only about 3 to 12% of the challenges make it to us, ever get reported. So there could be as many as 10,000 or so challenges a year. Mm-hmm. So what we do in Banned Books Week is this goes all the way back to 1982, where we were at a book exposition in Anaheim, California, and we with a bunch of publishers, and said, you know, we're getting a lot of challenges, attempts to have these books restricted. Let's do a display. And so we grabbed a bunch of them and put them in the center of the floor and put big yellow police tape around them, and the media was fascinated. And so we've been doing it ever since, just kind of call attention to, you know, what is America worried about this year, and what does it mean to have the freedom to read?
Sure. Who is it that attempts to ban books? Individuals, groups, a combination of?
It's mostly individuals and it's mostly parents. Hmm. You know, for a long time it seemed like the parents kind of fell into two groups. They were parents of kids between the ages of 4 and 6, or parents of kids between the ages of 14 and 16. And I don't know if you have kids, but looking back on my experience with that, between 4 and 6 is the end of infancy. You know, you no longer have total control of their environment, and they're running across all kinds of things that might make you uncomfortable. And 14 and 16, same thing. It's the end of childhood and the beginning of adulthood. And so often it's parents coming into a school library or a public library saying, I don't think I want my baby to grow up yet. I don't want them to know about sex or about violence or about racism or about the things that make up the adult world so complicated.
Are there books that should be banned?
You know, I have yet to run across one. My sense is that, you know, there are a lot of dangers in the world, but reading is not dangerous.
Yeah. Give me an example of some books that have come up recently and the subject matter that has brought them to your attention.
So we take a look at the previous year and we say, what are the books that are challenged most frequently? Then we just sort them by, you know, the number of challenges. And so number one last year was This One Summer, which was a graphic novel, meaning a novel kind of advanced comic book format. Mm-hmm. And it was challenged because some of the characters are LGBT, because there was some talk about drug use and profanity, and it was considered, quote, sexually explicit. Well, I would challenge all that. I read it. I think it's pretty good. It's kind of a coming-of-age thing of some girls between the ages of 11 and 13 that get together in the summer on an island, and kind of they're starting to grow up and hearing what the things that boys are talking about and trying to get interested in and understand the adult world. And it's never an attempt to offend anybody or to be profane. It's just about this is what it's like to grow up in America today.
Right. Is a book like that targeted to younger ages, or is a book like that targeted to adults?
I would say that that particular book was definitely YA, young adult. You know, so it's going to be of interest to people who are about that age, and they're having those conversations whether the parents want to know about that or not.
I notice on the list from 2016, a lot of the books that are on this list have LGBT characters within the confines of the chapters.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it seems like that's really prevalent throughout this list.
I would say about, as I look at the list, I think about 5 out of the 10 were about LGBT or transgendered youth. It seems like America's really worried about sex.
Nothing changes.
Right, right. But, you know, there's some other trends I see here, too, and this is the one I think that concerns the Office of Intellectual Freedom, and that's we used to say that when a book was challenged, you know, if there were policies and they had a kind of a protocol to talk about it and be thorough and think about the entire work, books are usually retained. 90% of the time they're retained.
Sure.
Of these top 10, half of them were removed from the institution where they were challenged. So when we call it Banned Books Week, we mean that. They are actually banned in those schools and libraries.
Mm-hmm. Some other issues that come up in this list of books, can you give us some other ideas of some of the subject matter or titles or topics that have come to light as you peruse this list and deal with some of these issues where people want these books banned?
Yeah, and you know, I'll jump down to number 10. There was Eleanor and Park, written by Rainbow Rowell. And the reason that people complain about it, so there's some bad words in here. This is about some young adults, and there's some bad words. But the book itself is actually quite beautiful, and it's about a kind of a slightly overweight redhead who lives, we learn slowly, in a very abusive household. And she's, you know, has a very tough life, and she kind of meets and kind of, you know, falls in love with this young sort of Asian-American boy. And it's a very thoughtful, tender book about trying to understand the difficulties that might exist in somebody's life. And the part that I notice for so many of the challenges we receive, someone says, this has bad language in it, or this has sex in it. But if you read the whole book, it's not about bad language. It's about trying to deal with domestic violence and how do you become whole and free yourself from that. And so I think so often the challenge, the reasons that people challenge books really diminish the power of the book. And that's why one of our themes this year is words have power. Read the whole book all the way through, and it has the ability to illuminate your life.
Right. I'm imagining the answer to this next question is a pretty high percentage, but to what percentage of the books that come to your attention or that are brought to your attention, to what extent is it a matter of how the reader perceives it? I mean, people can perceive written material in a couple, you know, more than a couple of different ways. How often does that come across?
Well, yeah, I think that's right. So if you pick up a book and it offends you, you have an easy option. Put the book down. If you are concerned that the book is, you know, exposing your child to information you don't want them to know yet, then have that discussion with your child. And so instead, what this kind of censorship attempt is about is to say it's not just what my child reads, it's what every child reads. And what we're learning, and I'm sure you know this from radio callers, is not everybody has the same values, and libraries have to serve everybody.
Yeah, very true. A book on this list I'd like to bring up is number 9 on the list, Little Bill, a series written by Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
How long ago did these books come out? Because it's interesting that the allegations of him of criminal sexual issues were the issue here in trying to ban his series of books.
Yeah, the books have been around for at least a decade, and I think that the, at least I believe that's correct. And this is the first time in my knowledge that we've had something challenged, not because of the content of the book, but because of the content of the character.
Right.
Or the character of the author, I suppose.
Right. I'm kind of surprised that's the first time that's happened.
Yeah.
There are certainly authors that have had their issues in the past as well, but this is the first time, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. People that are interested in seeing a book banned or taken out of a library, do they see the American Library Association as an enemy? It's hard to imagine the Library Association being an enemy, but do people see you guys that way?
Yeah, there are certainly some people that have tried to push this kind of agenda to say that, you know, the American Library Association pushes some sort of sexual content. But the truth of it is, libraries reflect our culture. And so what you find in a library is what is being published and what people are talking about in our culture. And so sometimes I think if you have a parent who is mad at what's happening on the Internet, and you say, well, I can't change the Internet, but I can yell at the library.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just provide access to this information. We're not the ones that are trying to ram it down anybody's throat.
Our guest is Jamie LaRue. He's director of the American Library Association Office for Intellectual Freedom. And he joined us today from Chicago. This week, we're talking about bookstores and libraries and other places celebrating Banned Books Week. How are they celebrating the week?
Well, we're doing a couple of interesting things. We're encouraging people to submit their own videos, and we are getting some wonderful videos where people talk about books that were challenged and they read aloud from them, or they talk about how they first discovered a book that was banned somewhere but really changed their life. And for the very first time, we're doing something called the Rebel Reader Twitter Tournament. And so we invite you to post any banned book-themed action that you take with the hashtag Rebel Reader. So you can follow that and see all kinds of very creative and often very funny things that people are doing.
Very cool. Hashtag Rebel Reader. Have you heard of any crazy incidents? I mean, are people out there burning books or going to the extremes that we heard of in the past?
You know, I think what we've learned is that it's not just books. And so since the election, which is sort of interesting, before then, in the previous 3 years, we had one report of a hate crime in libraries. And since the election, we have now had 36 reports of hate crimes in libraries. And so this is things like where somebody comes in, and we're not so much burning books, but putting swastikas on a library wall, or finding copies of the Quran in the library collection and ripping them up and pushing them in the toilet, or in two cases, actually threatening Muslim women in or around library property. So this there's kind of a larger environment of what we call intellectual freedom, the general attitude of America that is respectful to the First Amendment. And so there's some challenges in America today.
Yeah, intellectual freedom and intellectual property, too. I mean, this is an issue where I'm sure the authors are pretty concerned, too, when they see that people are trying to get their books banned. That can't be a very pleasant thing to go through when you're an author.
Well, I think two sides of that. One of them is the first thing that every author says when they find out that people are angry at them is like, you know, we are not trying to offend anybody. We're talking about things that really matter to us. We believe in the content of this book. We're promoting understanding and compassion. And so they're always surprised. And then the second thing is I suspect they sell more books.
Right.
You know, getting that kind of controversy is like, oh, I didn't know about that, so let me take a look at it. If somebody doesn't want me to read it, I probably do.
Yeah. I can't let this go without asking this question. Our normal host, Lori Walsh, is a avid reader and writer herself. Do you have any books that you're particularly interested in right now? Have you read some good books lately that you'd like to know, let our listeners know about?
You know, I moved to Chicago in January of last year, and so I picked up the Sarah Paretsky V.I. Warshawky mystery series. And there are, I think, 20 of them, and I'm on number 17, and they're fascinating. It's this is one of the very first female hard-boiled detectives, and she is discovering and talking about Chicago history, and I'm learning a lot about the city I live in now. So
also depicted in film and on screen, I believe.
That's
too.
Right.
Do the books differ much from that? I would imagine they probably do.
You know, I haven't followed up on that, but I think it was, so who was it who starred in this? The woman who played Jessica Rabbit, Kathleen Turner, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, and so I haven't seen the movies yet, but having read the books, I'm inclined to track it down.
Mm-hmm. What are some other issues that, in your position as director of the ALA's Office for Intellectual Freedom, what are some other issues that you deal with throughout the year?
So it's interesting. When I first got here, we took a look at the 2015 challenges, and out of those, 9 out of 10 were about diverse populations, 9 out of 10. And so it was LGBT, was kind of, again, also very strong. But we also had a lot of challenges to ethnic and cultural minorities, so anything that presented Islam in a positive light was challenged. We had books that featured disabled characters, and those were deemed offensive, usually on the basis of language. And so I think it's kind of interesting to look at the books and say sometimes we detect in these challenges a lack of understanding, a lack of acceptance of the fact that the demographics in America are changing. And I think people struggle with that.
Something that seems to parallel the news of the day and culture from year to year, too, apparently.
Oh, that's right. You know, and I talk about this, I say, maybe 5, 6 years ago. Remember when the Harry Potter books were first coming out?
Right, yeah.
And the challenges were out of the roof, you know, just we could hardly believe how many we were getting about Harry Potter because people thought we were promoting Satanism.
Hmm.
And now, of course, no one does think that because they've read the entire book and they've seen the books and they understand that what it's really about is courage and loyalty and all these other things. So I think that there are trends in what people want to censor, just as there are trends in what's popular.
Are you braced for the next round of books that deal with whether to kneel or stand before the national anthem?
Well, it is certainly a First Amendment issue, right?
Yeah, definitely. James LaRue, Director of the American Library Association's Office for Intellectual Freedom, has joined us during Banned Books Week. And you can learn more by going to ALA.org. James, thank you much for the conversation.
Thank you, sir.